Hi, this is Ben Zorns from Ellerslie Mission Society. We wanted to give you a peek at a vital part of our Ellerslie semester training. On day two of a semester, Eric Ludi stands before the new troop of students and gives them a message unlike any other message they receive all semester long. It's called Foundations. It's a critical day packed with 4 hours of very significant spiritual matter. Well, to give you a snapshot of this day and its content, we have selected out 18 audio clips from the Foundation's message that we think summarize it fairly well. So if you ever decide to come to Ellerslie, you will already be primed and ready. This is clip 14 of 18, entitled Holier Than Thou. We hope you enjoy, and if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.ellerslie.com. Here's Eric Ludi.
Holiness has become a bad word in Christianity today. I think I mentioned this yesterday, or I think it was. That's what happens at Ellerslie, you can't remember. You know something was said, but you can't quite remember where it was. But we talked about the fact that holiness is sort of a bad thing. If someone says, oh, you're being holier than thou, well, that's not a compliment. However, did you know that a Christian is supposed to be holier than thou? I know it doesn't sound good, but did you know that you are supposed to be other than the world? You are supposed to be more like God than the world is. Why? Because you have God. It's a strange thing. If the world is more like God than you, something is upside down. There must be something wrong with your Christianity. If God is dwelling in you, then you will be like him. He is holy, which means he is other than. He is set apart. He is different. And so if you are like God, well, then you will be other than the world. You will be holy. You know why we use the term set apart, Leslie and I? I mean, we have setapartlife.com. Leslie is set apart girl. In fact, Set Apart Femininity, I think is, that's the name of her book. Yeah, Set Apart Femininity. Girls love that. They're attracted to it. Set apart, oh, it's beautiful. It means holy. Could you imagine holy femininity? No one would buy that. That's because we have a misconstrued idea of what holiness is. It's a bad thing. You don't want to be holy. Because if you're holy, that means you're spiritually snobbish. Well, that is God spiritually snobbish? He is holy. He is holiness. He is holy, holy, holy. He's three times holy. Everything about him is holy. Is this a bad thing? Is this a criticism of God when we say holy? Holy are you, God. Are we making fun of him? It's a good thing. And most of us are like, well, it's good for God to be holy. It's not good for us to be holy. Be ye holy as he is holy. It's actually a command in Scripture. So that's why I'm bringing it up. Okay, let's not be afraid of this word. This word to many people smacks of legalism. Oh, self-made holiness. If you talk about holiness, it has to be some type of construed or man-made version of it. You know that there's a real thing? We don't need to be afraid of it. Yes, there is false religion all over the planet. Yes, there are men that have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. Yes, there are legalists on planet Earth that attempt to appeal to God and appease God with their own works of righteousness. And what they are giving is nothing but dung back to God. He takes no delight in it, no pleasure in it. It happens all the time on planet Earth, and I'm assuming that probably every single one of us has participated in that type of spirituality at one point in time or another. That doesn't mean there isn't a genuine article. Everything that is a counterfeit is a counterfeit of something. That means it's a false rendition of something that is true. Here is true holiness in a nutshell. It is the holy God entering our lives and being God in and through us. And the result is we are different than the world because God is expressing his nature in and through us. And when he comes in, guess what? He purifies us. He convicts us. He alters us. He reforms us. And guess what? We start to look more and more different than the world. My life is completely absurd next to this world. I mean, people, it gets worse every year. I don't do hardly anything that normal people do. My entire life is weird. And so when I'm like in a neighborhood and I meet the neighbors and we're talking and they start asking simple questions, it starts to get a little hot under the collar. For me even, because it's like, oh great, how am I going to answer this one? Because I know what it sounds like. It sounds absurd. So where do your kids go to school? Well, actually, we have our own school for them at home.
Really?
And so did you see that latest movie, No, I didn't see that. Didn't even know it existed. And so, well, how about, did you watch the Olympics? I didn't even watch the Olympics. I mean, I am so disconnected from pop culture. And it gets a little strange and awkward. And guess what? I'm not miserable. I'm the happiest guy you'll ever meet. Yet I'm disconnected from the things that typically are satisfying the world. I'm a weird guy in this world, and I feel weird in this world. Okay, it's the process of God taking over my existence. Eric, I need that. Oh, if you get that, I'm going to be even more weird. And that's the process. The way I train my kids, weird. The way I love my wife, weird. The way I run my daily life and schedule, weird. This Ellerslie thing, weird. The way I spend time in prayer, you pray? What are you praying? What are you doing with your time? How do I explain it to them? Weird. Everything I'm going to tell you this summer, weird. I've accepted that a long time ago. It's time that you do too. Don't try and be popular with this world. If you want to go with God, you need to accept the fact up front, you're going to look different than this world. Don't fight it. Just accept it. It's good. It's the way it's supposed to be. You know what the Jews brag about that? They're bar mitzvahs. They have a 13-year-old boy, and the father comes up to his son and says, "You're a Jew, and it's your privilege to be a Jew, and it's your privilege to look completely different than this world. It's your badge of honor." They brag about it amongst themselves. We're holy. And oftentimes, they have the wrong version of it. Because they don't have the living God in their presence. It's an external holiness. So they have their cap and they have their little, you know, things hanging down from their head and they have their different clothing. And yes, they are set apart and different externally. But the true holiness that Christ wants to work within us starts on the inside. It will affect the outside. In other words, we will dress different. We don't have to dress weird, but we will dress different. There are certain styles out there for girls that are just completely inappropriate for a set-apart girl. They just are. Like we talk about spandex. Please, guys, we don't need to see that rear end so tightly packaged. There are things that we will do differently than this world because we are Christians. We may drive different cars, not because a car is bad, but because a car makes a statement. We may live in different places. We will live different. We will think different. We will talk different. It is the natural outflow. You don't even need to focus on it. You don't need to say, "I need to be holy. I need to be holy. I need to be holy. How can I be different? How can I be different?" Look for weird ways to be different. You focus on Jesus Christ, it's the natural outflow. In fact, just focus on Jesus Christ. He'll make it very clear how you can be different because you'll feel every inch of it. God, I really don't want to do that. Like, "Will you put me over them?" Yeah. There is a process that God is going to walk you through. And it's the process, in Scripture, is known as sanctification. Sancta, it's the concept of sacred, set apart. It's the making holy or sacred of something. God has all sorts of different varieties of holiness in the Old Testament. But there were vessels that were holy. Like literally vessels that would be used in the temple of God. Priests that were made holy. What does that mean? They were made holy. They were set apart for service. They were consecrated with consecration or with sacredness. They were set apart for use by God. That's exactly what God wants to do with you. He says, "Hey, you, I need you."
Me?
You. "Will you be set apart for my service?" What does that mean? That means you say goodbye to father, mother, wife, and children. You leave it all behind, and you become mine. Huh? Why do I need to do that? Are you asking everyone to do that? I want you. Me? The Levites. There were 12 tribes. And the Levites, God's like, out of all 12, they were all holy. They were all set apart. They were God's people. And God says, "Hey, you, Levites." I'm like, us? I want to use you for a very special purpose. They come into the land of promise. You know, all the land is divided. All the tribes got land. The Levites got gypped. They didn't get land. I used to feel really bad for them. It's like, those poor guys. It says that they got something better. They got to live in the presence of God. They got to do the work of the ministry of the temple. They get something better. God is coming to you just like he came to the Levites and saying, you willing to be my Levite? You willing to do the work of the temple? You ever read Exodus 29? You may have, but I'll review it for you. Exodus 29 goes through a very interesting consecration process of the priests. The priests of the tribe of Levi are brought before the high priest Aaron, and a ram is slain, killed, and it's opened up. So its innards are exposed. I know it's a very nice thought. And the high priest dips his finger in the blood, and the priest that is setting himself apart unto God's service submits his right ear, and Aaron smears it with blood. Then he presents his right thumb, and Aaron smears it with blood. And then he presents his great toe, it says, great toe or big toe, and Aaron smears it with blood. That's a little strange, a little awkward, a little bizarre. It means something so significant to us as Christians. This is the setting apart. This is the work of holiness within our lives. This is what our high priest, known as Jesus Christ, does, not with the blood of a ram, with his own blood. And he says, can I have your right ear? The right side of the human body is very symbolic in Scripture. It's symbolic of authority, strength, power, control. I need the control. I need the authority of your life. I need to have you come under my governance. Will you submit your right ear? Why does he want my ear? You heard of the bondservant, right? The bondservant is a servant who's been set free, but then because of his love for his master, submits himself and says, I want to serve you for life. He says, I need your ear then. And he takes his ear and pierces it against the door frame, pierces his ear. Well, this is an ear issue. An ear is a symbol of obedience in the Bible. Your ear, a consecrated or a circumcised ear, is an ear for your master. That means whatever he asks, you have already pre-decided to agree and to say, yes, sir. You don't think about it. You don't weigh it and, you know, put a positive and negative column together and say, well, I don't know. You say yes. And you say yes even before he asks you. That is an ear stained with blood. We as Christians hold on to our right ear and we say, well, I'm going to decide what I want to do for God. And God says, you want to be a Christian? Let me have that ear. You pre-decide. There are scriptures in the Bible that you have not yet encountered. And I want you to pre-decide to agree with them. God's right. Even if it offends everything in my flesh and it offends the culture around me, God's right. I pre-decide that he's right. Whatever he asks of me, he gets, because I am his. Right thumb. Control. There's nothing, no better picture on the human body than the right thumb for the idea of control. It's your grip. And God says, I need that grip. I need that control. I need to be the one controlling your life. That right thumb, this is the right hand. This is the hand of war. This is the hand of marriage. This is the hand of kingly authority. This is the hand of dominance. This is the fighting hand. This is control in the human life. And God says, I need that thumb. Will you submit it to me? Because I must be in control of your life, not you. My right toe? Why does God have to have that too? I mean, my toe should be my toe. We want to go wherever we want in this life. We want to have it on our terms. Okay, I'm going to give God this, but could I at least keep back this? God says, wherever you go, it needs to be me defining it. You are no longer your own. You're bought with a price. I need to define where your life goes, not you. That toe is what leads, and you need to make sure that wherever you go, you realize that you're a bearer. You're a Levite. You're a bearer of the Ark of Covenant. You are a symbol of where the power and presence of God lives today. Do not take that job description lightly. Your right ear, your right thumb, and your right big toe. God says, I need it. That is holiness. It's not dress length. It's not if you have a beard or if you shave off certain parts of your beard at certain times. It's not how you deal with head coverings. I'm not saying any of these things are bad. It is not external in its nature. It's internal first and foremost. Then it begins to affect the external. Let's make sure as Christians that we start internal, clean, allow God to clean the inside of the cup and dish, set us apart, change us, and then the external is an expression of our worship. The external should always not be our means of curing favor, procuring favor from God, but our means of demonstrating our devotion to God. So let's let our, for instance, in worship, there is nothing more spiritual about hands raised. Some of you grew up in churches where there's actually, you sort of feel a pressure, I need to raise my hands. I want you just to worship. If you're in your kitchen with your parents and you're talking, you're you. It's the principle of, when I teach communications, I teach that. I say, kitchen conversations. The way you are in your kitchen at home talking with your parents is the way I want you up in front of an audience speaking, because it's you relaxed. There's nothing more awkward for an audience than a stiff person up there going, and here's my message, and looking around, all stultified and robotic. That's, no one wants to hear. I mean, they'll be gracious to you and listen to you, but that's not, it actually makes your audience stiff. They're uncomfortable for you. Be relaxed. But the way you are in your kitchen conversations with your family talking, that's the way prayer is supposed to be. That's the way worship is supposed to be. The way you worship in your closet back home when no one is looking because you are beholding the living God, that's the way you're supposed to worship. Don't worship for the person next to you, the person behind you. You ever had that thought? You have a fairly good voice. So you're thinking, you know, if I sing just loud enough, the person next to me or behind me or in front of me might be thinking, huh, they have a good voice. It's very subtle and very dangerous, but what it does is it ends up changing the heart attitude behind our singing or behind our praying. If I use these big words in my prayer or I quote this one scripture, these people around me are going to think, he really knows how to pray. I want it to be the genuine expression of what God is doing in your life, and I am not wanting any of us to be impressed with just the outward show or the phylacteries as the Pharisees had. They knew how to do it on the outside, but they were dead men on the inside. Christianity is all about being alive on the inside. Then the externals follow suit, and you begin to alter your external behavior, your external dress, but it's only as an evidence of an internal change and not in reverse.
So there you have it, our opinion on the holier-than-thou attitude. Thank you for listening. If you are interested in sampling the other audio clips from this 18-part series or just interested in more information about Ellerslie training, then please visit our website at www.ellerslie.com. This is Ben Zorns from Ellerslie Mission Society, cheering you on as Christ cultivates his set-apart life within you.